This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
This one would be tough to perform.
Not if you're the great Alan Jack.
Oh, no.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river.
Alan Jackson is
going to
be coming back and touring in 2020. I think he had a couple dozen sights. Closest to here, I think it was Iowa or a Milwaukee.
Should we take Afternoons Live on the road, bring Erica with us, and go see some Alan Jackson?
We're going to be traveling a lot for concerts next year.
A lot about living and a little about love.
All right, I got to get to work. Dane DeCray with the North Dakota ACLU back in Australia. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for coming back. We didn't scare you off after the last time.
Absolutely not.
I know one of the things that I want to talk to you about, that you're going to be involved in ACLU when it comes to lunch debt. Want to talk about that. But last month when you were in, we talked about criminal justice reform, how North Dakota is handling it. And I recall a caller wondering about marijuana, because we're talking about criminal justice. Well, should these low-level offenders be, you know, it was a cash bail, I think, was part of the discussion. And they raised a question that we didn't have enough time to get to about the difference between federal law when it comes to pot and what states are doing. So I just want to put that back up there and see if you had any thoughts on it since last time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of the million-dollar question for marijuana decriminalization reform, because until the federal government makes that decision to decriminalize, it's actually still illegal in every state that it's legal in.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to a decision of enforcement. And so in all of those states, if you decide to participate in their legal marijuana industry, you have to realize that you may be running afoul of federal law, but it only will happen if they actually spend the time to do that.
Okay. And that, I'm guessing, probably varies.
I think it varies between administrations. Mm-hmm. I know that the Obama administration had taken a hands-off approach, and I know that the Trump administration had said they were going to be more hands-on. But as a federal public defender, before I took this job, I never saw that play out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if the numbers bear out that federal marijuana enforcement has increased, but it very well could have. I just didn't see it here in Fargo.
Yeah, I remember the talk when Jeff Sessions became the attorney general, and that was going to be the case. Now we're going to crack down on this. And then somebody must have gotten in his ear and said, yeah, let's pump the brakes there, Jeff. And now, granted, we have a different attorney general. So
I think also part of it is it's easy to say that from the top, but it's kind of turning around a tanker. So
whether that
gets to the very bottom of enforcement, when you have agents who are doing different kind of work, if they want to spend their time on marijuana busts versus other drug busts, it's kind of a hard cultural shift, I think, plays a part of it too.
Very good. You covered it, man. So, Dayton, you're the advocacy director at ACLU, and one of the things that we've been discussing off and on, it's been a public conversation. I believe there was a professor from NDSU that had a concert to raise money for student lunch debt. What's going on here?
I think to understand student lunch debt, you need a little background first, which is what I always say when I come in here. But
I appreciate it. I don't have the study guide, so hit me like I'm 5 years old. Explain it to me.
So here's the Cliff's Notes. North Dakota made a decision that all of its students should get hot lunch, not some alternative, not packed lunch, not peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, hot lunch, because we know that students need to eat to learn. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve credit for doing that. But there's been an unintended consequence, which is that some parents whose kids get hot lunch can't afford it. And so they go into what's called lunch debt. So now school districts across the state are trying to figure out how to reduce or eliminate that lunch debt. And that's where this professor that you mentioned at NDSU got involved,
mm-hmm.
and how I got involved. And that's because many of the current lunch debt policies on the whole are pretty bad. And that's because they all use some sort of a punishment model. And they punish both students and parents. They punish students Because if you have lunch debt, you can't go to prom or you can't walk at graduation. And as a parent, they punish you by sending you to collections for the lunch debt or even threatening to take your kids away with social services.
Really?
We think that those don't work and that they're cruel. We know that if the goal of lunch debt is to actually eliminate debt, it's not working. And I'll give you just Fargo as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Fargo sent $30,000 to collections. As of today's date, only $391 has been collected. And
really?
So our question is it really worth $391 to ding people's credit, to make it harder for them to get housing? We don't think so.
So, well, and I don't disagree, and I've thrown this out, and I'm going to do it again. The fact that North Dakota has that as a policy, as a requirement, quite frankly, of these school districts, I think it's great. I think it's the right decision. Kudos to the legislature, the governor at the time. Whenever that became the standard in North Dakota, it was the right decision for everything you just said. Students do better. The unintended consequence, okay. So you got school districts that are in a pinch right now because of a variety of things. Do you fault them for trying to make sure that they stay in the black? They're not, you know, not on the wrong side. And then how do you correct it?
I don't fault them for making finances a priority, but I do think that what they're doing, one, isn't working. Mm-hmm. And if it's not working, we should pivot and do something else. And I think, too, the more concerning part is the punitive measurements that they are enforcing. We want to go. And those are specifically, one, related to the students. We don't think this is a kid's problem. Their concern shouldn't be their lunch debt.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be the determination whether they get to go to prom or not, or whether they get a walk at graduation or not. We don't agree with that.
Well, and yeah, it's not their fault of the family economical situation, especially if we're talking, in the elementary age, to where, born into poverty. Guess what? The wealth gap, it's increasing. Middle incomes aren't able to afford what they once were. I'm sure the cost of providing the lunches has increased as well over the years. So it's not the child's fault. And even if you're going to say, well, you know what the parents should have done, you still don't punish the kid for it.
That's right. And the second part that we are very concerned about, and it's not happening in Fargo, I want to put that out there because we've had some very positive conversations with the Fargo Public Schools, but in some other districts, they are threatening to get social services involved for child neglect because of lunch debt. And as the ACLU, that's very concerning to us because that sounds a lot like criminalizing poverty. And we don't think that it's right to threaten otherwise good parents with losing their kids simply because they don't have the money to pay for their school lunch.
Amen to that. 237-5948. You can text me at 35270. Dan DeCray is our guest advocacy director for the ACLU in North Dakota. So are there proposals out there? I mean, I know there's going to be a hearing tonight about the Legacy Fund. And I know some of the response to that is going to be, the government shouldn't get involved. Look, they already are. They're already involved. They're already providing these lunches. So this isn't adding an additional work. It's not taking anything away from anyone else, as far as I'm aware. Is there a role that, I mean, it just comes down to funding from the state to these districts? Or what's going on right now, I guess, as a solution or proposals?
So there are, the way we see it, three different solutions, but only one that we think is appropriate for North Dakota. You can raise the qualification level for some families to get free and reduced lunch. Right now, it's pretty low and hasn't been changed for a long time, but that requires federal involvement, and we don't think that's realistic given the state of Washington.
No, you don't say. They're struggling to get some things done out there.
The second option is you can add it to school district budgets, but that's tricky because this debt could change every year, so there's no way you can know. Or third, which is the reason I'm here mostly to talk about, is that NDSU professor is going to go to tonight's hearing and make the proposal to have universal free lunch in North Dakota. And we think that's the best option because it's a small amount given how much we have in the legacy fund,
mm-hmm.
and it eliminates all of the concerns that we just talked about. And really what it's doing is just adding one more piece into public education that we think is necessary.
Well, finish your thought there.
The same way that textbooks are free for all students, we think school lunch should be free for all students because they're both essential to learning, and so they should both be paid for by the state.
You got time for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Let's get to those 237-594. Let's get to Chris. Chris, thanks for calling the program. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm really good. I just left school. So the thing is what I guess the thing is, yes, there's no child that should ever go hungry. But not only should there be free hot lunch, but breakfast. Let's get these kids at a good start. Here's the thing. The parents that can afford it probably live in a little bit bigger house. Well, then let's tax that house a little bit more for real estate. Don't say anything, Tyler, because I know how you feel. But here's the thing. Like the gentleman said, you cannot criminalize poverty.
No, Chris.
That is just...
Yeah. Chris, I make a great point, and I didn't interject, even though you know my thoughts on some of that. Don't get me wrong here, though. I'm fully behind school lunches being covered. That's part of the education process. You have anything that you want to add to that, Dan?
No, I think that you need to understand how important lunch is, and that's kind of the basis for how North Dakota began this, which, again, we give them 100% credit for, understanding that hungry kids don't learn as good as kids with full stomachs, and we need to work to make that a reality.
Got time for one more phone call?
Absolutely.
I asked for them. They're coming in. Greg, thanks for calling the program.
I'm making this observation and a question. Isn't this similar to the mandate on the Affordable Care Act? You're mandating everybody to have pay for lunches, and those that can't afford it are forced into debt. It seems to me that they call the mandate on Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. Isn't this the same thing?
All right.
Aren't they forcing?
Greg, thanks for the phone call. You have a response? I got to take, but I'll let you go first there, Dan.
I guess the first thing I would say is I'm not sure that that mandate on the Affordable Care Act has ever been found unconstitutional yet. I know there's some litigation around it, but I think that this is maybe a different argument here because we are talking about children and we're not talking about adults and health care. And I think the difference is that we have a large amount of money that we are saying we should use. And so I don't think it's an unfunded mandate either, but I think that the legacy fund is an appropriate mechanism to make this happen.
And the tax isn't paid for by income tax. The legacy fund's been accruing money from the oil extraction tax and some of those natural resources, so to speak. Let's take a quick break. Do you have a couple more minutes for me? I'll keep you around till 3 o'clock. How's that sound? Dane DeCray, advocacy director. You're an advocacy advocate too with the ACLU in North Dakota. Stick around. More After News Live right after this.
Come to teach us. Back to After News Live, News Radio KFGO.
I have got a ton of messages at 35270. I tell you what, I'll get to those in the second hour because I've got 2 minutes left. And Dane DeCray, our guest, kind enough to stick around. So lunch debt, you had mentioned legacy fund. That's going to be talked about tonight. I'm just going to give you the final word. You got 2 minutes. Take it away, man.
There's one last piece about a lunch debt policy that I think is important for North Dakotans to understand. And that's that no policy is going to cover a certain number of North Dakotans. And that's because many people fall into what's called a services cliff. Mm-hmm. And that means that they're too rich to afford free lunch, but too poor to be able to afford to pay for the school lunch. And so in North Dakota, a family of four has to make less than $48,000 a year to get free lunch. But the North Dakota income calculator says that you need $64,000 a year to meet your basic needs. So if you fall between 48 and 64, you don't get the benefits of free lunch, but you can't really afford to pay for this lunch. Mm-hmm. So for those families who have lunch debt, it's not because they're not willing to pay or that they're spending their money on frivolous or things. It's simply because they don't have any extra money to spare and are left with making the decision like keeping on your lights or avoiding having lunch debt.
And well, I think that's such an important piece of this because it's not just for the student lunch debt, but for a number of things when it comes to, well, either have a service or you don't. It's either all or nothing. You don't gradually, the system's not set up that way. And my question to you is, I've only got about 30 seconds here. Is that a federal thing or a state thing?
It's a federal thing. The federal free lunch program has set minimum income requirements. And so until they're going to increase that, we have to take it on as North Dakotans.
That's why we're looking for alternatives, I would say. Dane, it's been fun. We'll do it again next month, all right?
See you in a month.
Dane DeCray, he is the advocacy director for the North Dakota ACLU. We'll have him in again next month. I got a ton of messages in. If you're calling in, I will get to you in the second hour. But when we come back, 32 Below, Chris Christopherson, how did it happen? We'll talk to Tyler from 32 Below next. I'm Tyler Axidis. I'm your host here of Afternoons Live. You're listening to KFGO Fargo.